Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from beautiful Pueblo, Colorado on this 15th day of September 2009. We have a wonderful show for you today, folks. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Some Like It Hot, one of my favorite comedies. And to make it even more exciting, joining us for our celebration is legendary Hollywood actor Tony Curtis, who played Joe/Josephine in that terrific movie, which the American Film Institute named as the top comedy on its 100 Funniest Movies list. Tony has just completed a book titled The Making of Some Like It Hot, My Memories of Marilyn Monroe and the Classic American Movie. So I think we're in for a treat when he tells us more about his book in just a few minutes. Before bringing Tony on, let's see if Nikki is ready to help with the show. Nikki, is our chat room open and ready for listeners to sign in?
Yes, it is, and we are ready and very excited for the show.
Oh, great. I want to thank you and the chatters, as well as all our other listeners, for tuning in. Now, my co-host Jazz Shaw won't be here today, but two classic movie experts from the San Diego area, film historian James Colt Harrison and Classic Movie Guide founder Diana Sanger, are with us, and we'll be calling on them soon. But now, it's my great pleasure to introduce an acclaimed actor and artist who's appeared in 88 movies, earned an Oscar nomination for The Defiant Ones, plus two Golden Globes, naming him the world's favorite male actor, and received a Distinguished Hollywood Film Artist Award from the St. Louis International Film Festival, along with a host of many, many other awards. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters, Tony.
Betty Culpepper, what a name. You should have been in the movies.
Oh, no one has ever said such a nice thing to me, Tony.
No, you should have. That is such an excellent name.
Well,
thank you. Let's think of a picture or a movie.
Movie.
Yes, I've got it. The Mountain Falls, starring Betty Culpepper.
That's
magnificent.
I'm ready. I'm ready for that. And Tony, you know that we're so honored to have you here. And with with your impressive film background, you're probably a movie addict like the rest of us on this show. Am I right about that?
And Betty, I made more than 88 movies. I made about 110.
110
movies.
You have been
from 1948 to now. I've clocked in about 108 movies. It would have killed an ordinary man.
I bet it would. Well, some of the work that you've done has been on television, also, right? You've had a lot of television appearances. Is that right?
Yes. Well, if I may, there's very little difference between television and films and theaters. It's the same. It has the same heart. It has the film that plays and affects you and you enjoy. And now with television, a lot of these films that have played and that have lost their favor for people are now back on the screen. And there are so many old movies that all of us love to watch and enjoy. So you see, we are given a gift with television to watch these movies.
You're absolutely right about that, and we do love to watch those old classic movies.
Oh, don't we ever? Aren't they fun?
They are.
And they're so appealing. I mean, to see Betty Grable at her height when she was dancing, to see Jimmy Stewart shooting a rifle, to see all of these fabulous people who are unfortunately gone now, amusing us and making us feel good for an hour or 2 hours. You know, it's a great profession, and I'm so privileged that I'm in it, that I'm connected with it.
And,
I'm at a period of time now, you know, where I feel quite sad for players that are leaving us. Patrick Swayze just went.
Yes, yes. And we're very, very sad about that.
Isn't it incredible how moved we are by these people, like members of our family?
They really are. They really
it's
are.
It's terrific.
It really is, and you've played such an important role in the.
Well, I
absolutely could not ever be fail to be surprised by your performances. You just did not get in a rut. You played so many different kinds of roles.
Well, that was part of my dream when I first started in films. Betty Culpepper, what a name. I decided in those early movies that I would try to play in different types of movies, action, drama, comedies, all the different types. And I found for my whole career, all of the pictures that I played in were all a little different. And that gives me a wonderful feeling that I was able to bring that off, that I was able to do those movies of every kind of character. And not only that, but I played a girl.
That's right, and I think that's a cue for
and
us.
I played a very appealing girl.
You did. You played Joseph.
I didn't play your average girl. I played a very sweet and gentle girl.
You certainly did, and I think that's a cue to call on James Cold Harrison, who has a special place in his heart for Some Like It Hot and for the role that you played in that.
I used to room with Marilyn Monroe, two girls walking down the street. Boy, did we get a lot of attention.
I'll bet you did. I'll bet you did. Well, I have someone here on the line now who wants to talk with you a little bit more about that. So, Nikki, would you bring on James now? I think this is a good time for him to say hi to Tony. James, are you on the line?
I am indeed, yes.
Say hi
Who's
to
on
Tony.
The line?
James Colt Harrison, and he's a
Who
film
is this?
He's a film historian, and he had his first assignment on the set of Some Like It Hot when it was being filmed. So James, say hi to Tony.
Hi, Tony. I was 19 years old when I visited the set of Some Like It Hot in Coronado.
Who am I speaking to now?
This is James Colt Harrison.
James?
James.
J-A-M-E-S. You, Jane, me, Tarzan.
Yeah.
We got it, Jane.
James,
do you have a question about Some Like It Hot? It's been a long time since 1959.
Yes, it has. Out of all your films, why did you pick Some Like It Hot to write a book about?
For the people that I worked with. They were unusual, very appealing, wonderful friends. There was Billy Wilder, one of the finest film directors in Hollywood. In fact, from my scoreboard, from my memory board, I would he was my finest film director that I worked with. He brought out the best in me. He was considerate, very kind, and extremely gifted. Jack Lemmon. We were like brothers, and in the movie we were like sisters. We got along so well that we knew each other those early days in the movies in Hollywood in the early 50s. We became friends, and we used to meet at parties, and I'd meet him at the different studios when I went, and I loved him. He was the kindest, most wonderful actor I've ever known. He was so giving and caring in everything he did. He made me feel good, and I made him feel good. So when we worked together, it was like an extension of each other. We were kind of connected in a way.
You certainly complemented each other, yes.
Marilyn was a different experience. Marilyn and I, in 1949, 1950, we met, and we fell in love and hung out together.
Wow.
I had already started. I was under contract to Universal. She wasn't under contract anywhere at that time. But we had met, and we kind of shared our lives together for a period of a couple of years. Maybe not intensely, but certainly we went together. And she helped me, and I helped her. And we were kind and considerate with each other. What a relationship we had.
Well, we were great together in that movie.
We even talked about getting married. But we knew we couldn't, simply because we were both starting out in our career and both needed all of our attention in that area. And we would have not had a chance to be able to have time together. So that's the way we were. And then she started getting some jobs in movies. Meanwhile, I was moving along very nicely. And there we were. We both got started in the movie. And then for that miracle of making that movie, she joined the cast. Well, that was such a thrill for me and for her, because we always were kind and considerate with each other. And there we were making this movie. But, you know, Marilyn had changed a lot by that time, from 51 to 1957, 58. She seemed lost and despondent. She seemed unhappy when we finally got together. There she was, the most important female actress in the profession, and she couldn't enjoy it. She had been humiliated so many times, made to be involved in things she didn't want to do. And that had a very dire effect on her behavior and her living. And then we did the movie together. I never violated her in any way. She never violated me. And then, you know, she was married to Arthur Miller at that time.
Yes.
And so we tried to make it work, and it did. She's never been better in a movie than she was in Some Like It Hot. I've never been better in a movie. Jack was never better. So you could see how the three of us gave into the picture. We gave to each other and made sure that the film was pristine and clean and very appealing. I loved her. But I loved all of them. The whole cast were my buddies and my friends, and vice versa. We were a wonderful group of actors, producer, the writer, when we made that movie. It was an exceptional experience, and we knew it was. It was tough to make. You know, it wasn't an easy movie to make. There we were, having to get ready and learning how to be a lady. that was easy for me. There's something very ladyish about me. And yes, I was much better than Jack. Jack was so ugly and clumsy.
Oh, dear.
So on the weekends, I would have him come over to my house. He'd bring his high heels, and I had mine at the house. And we'd put them on and traipse around the house. And I'd try to make him feel more at ease. And he did.
So I wish I had a picture of that.
Yeah, we all gave to each other. With Burt Lancaster, I learned to box. With Kirk Douglas, I learned to fence. With Jack Lemmon, I learned to flirt.
I see. Well, that was a valuable thing to learn.
Oh, it was. I'm lucky. If I would have had to have Kirk Douglas teach me how to wisp around like a girl, I'd have looked like Ethel Merman.
Well, Jack, you and Jack Lemmon, you just complimented each other so well.
Yeah, we did. But, you know, we both felt we had nothing to lose if we did it together. We were buddies. We were best friends, just like in the movie. And that, you know, that just fit in beautifully for us. And so we had a, you know, talking to you now, I remember so many scenes in the movie with Marilyn and with Jack, with Billy Wilder directing it.
Which were the most fun scenes?
Say again?
Which of the scenes were the most fun?
Oh, well, when we were dressed as girls, that was a lot of fun. I'll tell you what I did once with Jack. I said, Jack, we were walking around the studio lot, and there was the bathrooms. I said, I've got to go. He said, well, let's go. So we started down. I said to Jack, I'm not walking in a men's room dressed like this. Are you crazy? He said, well, you're right. What should we do? I said, into the girls' bathroom. So we walked in, and they had mirrors along one side and the stalls on the other. And I immediately pulled out my lipstick out of my purse, and I ran to the mirror and started to apply the lipstick. Slowly, meanwhile looking through the mirror at what was going on. And so did Jack. And then we fixed our hair, and we just laid around there for a while, you know, in no hurry, in no rush. And girls were coming in and out, and nobody paid attention to us. Every now and then someone would wave at us, and we'd wave back. And then we decided to leave, and we walked through the bathroom, just outside their ladies' room door. And I said, see, Jack, look how perfect we are. He said, wow, I never thought we could get away with that. I said, well, we did. No one recognizes nothing. With that, a girl walks by me saying, hi, Tony.
Huh.
Hi, Tony.
Well, when you were talking about the scenes, did you watch Marilyn Monroe sing I Want to Be Loved by You?
Yes.
How great was that?
Oh, it was wonderful. And she sang that to me and to Billy Wilder and to Jack Lemmon. Every guy on the set felt that song was for them.
And every guy in the
you.
Audience, yeah, and in the movie audiences, I think.
It was a fabulous experience. We had a lot of trouble. It was a lot of difficult things. It was difficult for Marilyn. She wasn't able to concentrate as well as she did earlier in her career. You know, she was going through a lot of trouble in her life personally. And she was very frail and was getting ill a lot. But we went ahead with that movie and made it work. I loved her. We had such good times. Between shots, we'd sit down on one of the benches or the seats that were the pieces of wood that were laid around the set ready to be used. And we'd sit on that, and a lunch table there, and I'd get a couple of apples. And I'd give her one and I'd have the other. And we'd sit there eating our apples looking at each other. It was so sweet. And then Jack Lemmon would come over. I said, go and get grapes. I said, you stay away from her and don't bring her apples. Apples is my deal.
You're very protective. You know, Tony, I just can't wait to read your book. In fact,
please.
I've already pre-ordered it, and I went to the Amazon.
Dear. Please read it. It's what makes it. I'm not going to tell you how good or bad it is. I'm just going to tell you, it came from my heart. That book is Some Like It Hot. The troubles we had, the problems we had, the joys and miraculous feelings we had. It's all in the book, you know. And whatever happened with us in the book happened because we were making a movie. You know, when you're making a movie, you might as well imagine that whoever you are, you're married to whoever's standing next to you. It's a very close environment. And you may not be involved in all of what happens in married life, but the feelings you had were very powerful. And it was with Some Like It Hot. But you know, my dear girls, it was like that with me with almost every movie I ever made. So you see, out of 140 movies, I was married 130 times.
<There's a> scoop. I can see page 6 tomorrow. Well,
I have wonderful experience as a husband.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a lot of experience.
So if you girls are ever in trouble, call me.
We will do that. We'll have the Tony Curtis hotline. Well, you know, your
yes, right.
Your publicist says, or whoever wrote the editorial reviews, say that your book is a behind-the-scenes saga of intrigue, humor, and romance. So we all want to read it, of course.
It has all of that. You know, there's nothing unusual about it, but we lived it. Don't you see? We didn't deny it. We lived that experience. That was a human experience, what happens in life when people are thrown together for 40 or 50 days. You know, you become very familiar with each other. You almost have to. The things that you're asked to do, the way you play scenes. I'll give you an example. In almost all the movies I ever made, I kissed all of my leading ladies. In the scenes, anyway, we kissed. Now, that's a very personal experience. But we did it in the movie as work. It was an act. We may have enjoyed it, but still, it was part of the making of the movie. And that's a very close experience, kissing. Maybe you girls know about it.
I think we know something about it. That's right.
Yeah, now, right.
We don't know as much about it as you do, but we definitely know.
Well, then call me the next time, and I'll give you a lesson.
Good. I'm going to hold you to that. Well,
and if you've got girls, if you have daughters, I'll teach them too.
Great. Well, we have another girl on the line, Tony, who wants to talk to you. And
she's got her kissing coming.
Yes, that's right. Kisses for Diana. Hi, Diana. Would you like to know something about, because you're a publisher and author yourself, would you like to know something about Tony's new book? Please say hi to Tony.
Hi, Tony, and thank you for talking to us today. My name is Diana.
Who am I talking to?
Diana.
What's your name?
Diana.
Diana. Tell me what the darling's name is.
Diana.
Diana.
Yes.
Just saying it makes my mouth water.
Great.
Diana. Tell me, Diana, what would you like to know?
I want to know what was your biggest challenge in writing the book.
Please repeat that for me slower.
What was your biggest challenge in writing the book?
What was my what?
Your
biggest challenge.
challenge?
I'm sorry. I'm not getting it all clearly. What was your what? Please, again.
Diana is asking, what was your biggest challenge writing the book?
Right. Thank you, Diana. The major one was learning how to be a woman. I made it a very important part of that person I played. I had Grace Kelly and my mother and Eve Arden in my mind when I imagined I was a woman.
What a combination.
Yes, what a what I did was, though, you see, I wanted to bring to the screen a reality. I didn't just want to put on heels and lipstick and a bra and put a dress on and think I was a woman. It just wasn't. Well, that wasn't my nature. I'm sure some guys would have loved it. So at the beginning of it, you know, at the first getting started in it, it was a big mystery to me and a challenge. But by keeping myself pure and clean and not getting intimidated by the experience, I was able to put on stockings and have a garter belt. I was able to put on a slip and different size shoes and a dress and carried a coat and a purse. I felt quite at ease with it when I finally learned what I wanted to do. Billy Wilder hired a couple of female impersonators. Babette was the name of one of them. She was famous for it. And she kind of taught us the subtleties of it. If you girls ever run across me, you just watch me, and I'll show you stuff you don't believe.
I bet you will. Billy Wilder must have been wonderful to work with. How did he work with all of you? Did he? What were some of the techniques?
Well, you know, his work and his ability to do what he was. Diana, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What Billy Wilder did was his extreme intelligence and his finite sense of comedy both worked in such a perfect combination that he was able to express the most subtle things that he wanted to find. So it wasn't, you know, okay, guys, put on your heels and let's dance through. No, don't walk like that. Pick up your toes. It was never that. He would talk to me. He'd say, now, Tony, how are you feeling? I said, well, I'm feeling pretty good. And, you know, that was all made up, lipstick, hair, jacket, coat, shoes, everything. And he would say to me, now, let's tell me something about when you were a kid. Did you ever get dressed like this before? I said, no, I hadn't. Have you had any experience? And then I realized what he was saying to me. I said, yes, I have. All the women that I've been married to and a lot of the girls that I went with where I moved in for a while, there they were doing the very thing that I'm trying to figure out. All I have to do is relax and remember them, and I'll find those little idiosyncrasies that they used.
You were quite a good observer. You had.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah. Good
and that
observer.
Helped a lot. You know, when I thought about, I said, boy, was that lucky for me to be a womanizer.
Ain't all.
I could have gone out with truck drivers, but no. My interest was girls.
Oh, you have so many wonderful stories. I'm going to, Tony, right now, there are people in our chat room talking about you and about Some Like It Hot, and I'm going to check with Nikki to see if there are any questions or comments.
Yes,
that she
fine,
wants
I'm
to
ready.
Bring up. Okay.
I'm
Nick,
ready,
you...
honey.
You're always ready. Good.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm ready, Freddy.
Nikki, do you want to give us a report from the chat room?
Well, everybody loves him, just so you know. They are having a great time in the chat. They're kind of interested in how he feels about modern actors and things like the method school. It was much different for them, and they are asking how he feels about modern movies and modern actors.
Good question, Chatters.
Hey, Culpepper. Debbie.
Yes?
Please repeat that question.
I will repeat it.
I didn't quite get all of it.
They're wondering in our chat, how do you feel about modern actors and modern movies? Today's movies.
Well, we are really I'm trying to think of that word. Never mind. We are in the film in a modern period of time, or in 1940, or in 1920. And the times, the way we lived, the accoutrements that we had, shaving machines, putting on lipstick, going out to get a job, driving cars that were not what they look like today, living in the past. That was part of it. And as time changed, we changed. Look at what little girls do today. They're all shimmying and dancing and wearing lipstick and hair curlers. And why shouldn't they? They are women, and they should enjoy it early. But they didn't do that, 40, 50 years ago. It just wasn't possible for them to be feminine or that feminine. They had to wait until they got to be 18 and 20 and 22 before they were allowed that privilege. So that was an important part of it. Today, your son could be a girl and you wouldn't know it.
I see. Okay. That's an interesting observation.
Yeah.
And then there is one more question, Betty Jo, right quick.
All right.
It comes from Daryl Houston Smith. He wants to know, did he enjoy working with Stanley Kramer on The Defiant Ones?
Yes.
Or did he find him difficult to work with?
Yes. That's an interesting combination you just mentioned. Here we are talking about Some Like It Hot. And I once made a movie called The Defiant Ones. What a contrast these two pictures were. This was important to me that I could play that. This was important that I could be in a movie where I was chained to a guy. He was black and I was white. And have to go a distance hating each other. And it brought out another quality in me, which I had to embellish and make sure it worked. Make sure that part of me was exactly what the character was. And then there's Some Like It Hot. I'm a broke-down musician, a saxophone player, which was the lowest kind of a musician you could be. And I'm in a woman's band playing music, and they don't know I'm a woman. You can imagine the things that happen to me in a movie that you didn't see in the scene. Like camping out with the girls, spending a night with all of them.
Right.
Talking about our bras, who had the biggest bra, who had the smallest one, what kind of pantyhose did you use. I was privy to a lot of information.
I'll bet Stanley Kramer would not have directed Some Like It Hot, but he really did a good job
exactly.
On The Defiant Ones.
Stanley Kramer was perfect for The Defiant Ones because that was his nature. He would never try to make a movie about guys dressed as women simply because there was nothing in that he felt was interesting enough. But for Billy Wilder, he thought it was great, and it was great for us. And, you know, my dear girls, Culpepper and all of you down there, isn't it wonderful that we made a movie that is so funny, that you enjoy so much? Two guys prancing around with their bottoms sticking out. Oh, I'm going to tell you a story. Now, I hope I get away with it. I may have to change the last word, but...
Okay.
Well, the dress designer, Ori Kelly, we had the dress fittings, the three of us, and we had dressing rooms right alongside of each other. He came up and he measured Jack Lemmon. The guy, he did the tape and counted out the sizes, a 36, a 34, in the back, 27, waist, 32. And then he came to me, and I was wearing a pair of jockey shorts, and I stood there in front of him, and he measured me, 18, 21, 31, 14, 19 and a half. Then he finished with me, and he went next door to Marilyn. And Marilyn was wearing a pair of panties, a silk blouse, and three-inch shoes, three-inch heels. And standing there, trust me when I tell you, she was beautiful. She was one of the most well-proportioned women I've ever seen. And she was standing there, and he took out his tape, very intimidated, and he measured her, 29, 37, 45, 14. Then he got to her bottom, and he put the tape around the bottom, and he looked up at her, and he said, you know, Tony Curtis has a better looking ass than yours.
Oh, dear.
And you know what she did? She opened her blouse.
Uh-oh.
Opened her blouse and said to him, he doesn't have tits like these.
Sorry. That's a great story.
A little that kind of an environment is certainly a pleasure. I hope I didn't offend anybody, but it is a most unusual story.
It is, and I'm sure we'll hear about it later. But it was just hilarious, like the movie. I mean, so funny, just fast paced and funny, and just a delight. But I wanted to go back to what's happening at the Hotel Dell this next weekend, and James. I think since he was there for the filming, I think he might have a question about what's happening this next weekend.
Oh, please.
Yeah, Tony, do you know what activities are scheduled for the upcoming Some Like It Hot 50th anniversary at the Hotel Dell?
Are you asking something?
Yes, he wants to know what activities will they have there?
We're going to have some film that was shot while we were making the movie that didn't end up in the movie. They're going to be showing all of the props and costumes. They'll have a lot of models dressed in these costumes. They'll be showing the movie, having dinner, having a big question and answer experience. They'll show a lot of stills that came out of the movie, and there'll be some contests where you can make a little money just remembering what dresses or suits we all wore in the movie. So it'll be a really pleasant experience for all the people to show there so that they could see what making the movie was like.
Oh, that sounds like a terrific event. I know the Hotel Dell does things right, because I attended the hotel's 100-year birthday party a few years ago.
Mm.
What a bash it was! I even got to talk with one of my favorite tap dancers, Ruby Keeley.
Yes,
there'll be
a lot of dancing, and it's going to be a wonderful experience. And that'll be the 50th anniversary of the movie. I can't believe that.
No, I can't either. And will you be signing your books there? Will you be signing?
And I'll have the book there. I think I'll have the book there.
Oh, well,
if not, I'll sign anything you girls want me to. I'll sign brassieres, I'll sign purses, photographs. I'll have the book there. I'll have a lot of photographs that you'll be able to acquire. And if you got a nice picture of yourself, I'll trade you.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. I wish I could be there. I think Diana has one more question. Diana?
Please. Hi, Tony. I want to know Hi. Why do you think Some Like It Hot has become such a classic that everybody loves?
Please tell me that, Betty.
Diana wants to know why you think Some Like It Hot has become a classic.
Yes, thank you. That's a difficult question to answer because who knows what about. You can't put it on anything. You can't say that the two guys were in drag or that Marilyn was dressed in a see-through blouse or you heard the 20s music or telling what the story was. Any of that, all of that combined makes the story. But I feel what made the picture so appealing was the humor of it, that you could take two guys and dress them as girls, and one of them falls in love with one of the girls. The story itself made it possible for you to feel at ease and comfortable with that story.
Well,
you know, that
said.
Was very important, that you could understand what it was like and then see it. And Billy Wilder was never frightened by it. He was never intimidated by that whole experience. That experience worked. You know, when Jack and I come out of that hotel room and I'm in the wheelchair and we go wheeling it down through the lobby and then we start running and our skirts are flying up in the air and us standing
hilarious.
Alongside of each other sharing our lipstick. All of that.
Tony, I can't believe that our time is up. You've just made it.
Oh.
Why, you have been such a wonderful guest.
I hope I did a good job for you.
Oh, you did a wonderful job. And, you know, we all want to thank you for being on our
thank
show
you.
Today. And we want to thank you for the pleasure that you've given us through
thank
your
you.
Wonderful film performances, and have fun at the Hotel Del this weekend, okay?
I would like to say something.
Yes.
Marilyn, Billy, Jack, I wish you were here.
Oh, that's such a sweet thing to say, Tony.
They were my best friends, and they're gone. I miss them terribly.
And we all miss them.
Anyway, thank you, Betty.
Well, you're very welcome. It's been an honor, and we'll say goodbye now, and I'll just
Goodbye, Diana, and the other girl
Bye.
That was on the phone.
And Nikki, and
make
Ben
sure
Dave.
You don't have to wear a slip all the time.
Remember that, girls. This is
yes.
Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to
well,
all of you.
I embrace all of you, and I would like to have all of you girls at one meeting, and we would discuss everything.
Well, I hope that we can work that out sometime. You too, Tony. Thanks again for taking time to be on our show. Bye now. Special thanks to Nikki Starr and Jazz Shaw for everything they do to make Movie Addict Headquarters such fun to host, as well as to Diana and James for adding so much to today's anniversary celebration, and a great big cyberspace hug to Tony Curtis for being here and for sharing so many candid stories and hilarious stories with us. Thanks to all our chatters and other listeners for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Please come back this Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time or 1 p.m. Pacific Time for a special show featuring the one and only Debbie Reynolds, America's Entertainer Extraordinaire. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. Now, as usual, here's the talented A.J. Daniels to close the show with the song we dedicate to all our Blog Talk Radio listeners.
Me and be true.